Tom was a Methodist. We got him to see the light, so he went to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. For a Southern Seminary graduate, he's a pretty good singer, doesn't he? Thank you, Dr. Patterson. One time I was introduced to one of the congregation, I think it was in Virginia. Pastor said Billy Kim is a model preacher. I didn't know what model meant, so I looked it up in the Korean dictionary. It says small imitation of a real thing. He went on to say he's not only a model preacher, but he's a warm preacher. And I didn't know what warm meant, so I looked it up in a Korean dictionary. It says not so hot. On November 22, 1963, a man was shot to death in the streets of Dallas, Texas. News of that man's death heard around the world in 2 hours. The entire world took notice of the tragic death of President John F. Kennedy. It only took 2 hours for the whole world to find out. Some 2,000 years ago, a man by the name of Jesus Christ was killed in the outside wall of Jerusalem. After 2,000 years have gone by, half of the world have yet to hear the news of Savior's death on the cross of Calvary. I call that paradox. Launch pad of Cape Kennedy. You send your first man to the moon. Whole world stopped what they were doing in order that they could see that historic moment when first American would land on the moon. Korean government was gracious enough to prepare 40-foot screen in downtown Seoul. They declared a semi-national holiday in order that the school children could go watch that historic moment when first America would land on the moon. You ask anybody on the streets of Seoul, who was that man? They tell us Neil Armstrong. But you ask the same people, who was the man when God sent chariot? He went into that chariot, went into heaven. They cannot tell you that he was Prophet Elijah because they never heard that story. A few years ago, there was a fight of the century was on Madison Square Garden in the city of New York. Fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. That fight came via satellite to our part of the world. One day I was walking in downtown Seoul. I saw literally hundreds of people glue their eyes to the television set. I asked one of the men, what's going on? He said, don't you know, there's a fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. I didn't have time to watch. I came home that evening. I asked our three children who won the fight. Our daughter, Mary Kay, she said, Joe Frazier won the fight. I went out to Saturday night youth rally, several hundred teenagers. Before I started to speak, I asked the students who won the fight. They all raised hand. I singled out one young man. He told me Joe Frazier won the fight. Then I asked him a question. You know who won the fight between the shepherd boy David and giant Goliath? On that day when the children of Philistines were challenging the children of Israel, he scratched his head. He didn't know who won that fight because he had never heard that story. That's a paradox. But there's one paradox that I cannot understand. Paradox between the East and the West. If you come to our part of the world, I'd like you to visit Calcutta, India, where more than 7 to 8 million people live in that great city. Seemingly most of the people live on the street. I was in the second floor of the missionary guest house, and I looked down on the street. I saw some funny-looking carts coming down. I asked missionary, what's that cart is used for? He said to pick up the dead bodies of those people who starved to death night before. And he drove me outskirts of Calcutta. I saw piles of wood. They will bring those bodies and burn them out on the open. If that doesn't break your heart. Go to the Bangladesh and some parts of Pakistan. Literally hundreds and thousands of children starve to death every day. Before this chapel service comes to conclude, I'm reminded at least 10,000 people in our world will be starved to death. Yet from that part of the world, you get on a jumbo jet. Around 12 to 15 hours, you come to a place called USA, one of the greatest countries on earth. There's no other nation on the face of the earth been blessed by God Almighty as the people of the United States of America. And believe me, you've been blessed. Over 50% of the world's wealth is owned and controlled by the American people. But Japanese people tried to help you out just a little bit. 78% of the world's insurance is purchased by American people. Yes, and no other nation on the face of the earth been blessed by God Almighty as the people of the United States of America. And I believe at one time American drive 60% of the world's automobile. When I landed Los Angeles, I changed my mind. I think it's 99% of the world's automobiles driven by American people. No other nation on the face of the earth been blessed by God Almighty as the people of the United States of America. And believe me, you've been blessed, and don't you ever take it for granted. Average American family. I've been guests, you know, many times American homes, and they usually take one of their children out of their room and double them up, and they give me their room. This is your bed, this is your bathroom, this is your towel, and this is your closet. Make yourself at home. I look into closet, try to hang my clothes. I can find one single empty hangers. It's a cover to cover. So much clothes and so many pair of shoes. And I'm happy for you. On Sunday morning, average American family go out on the driveway. They have to decide which automobile they're going to drive to church on Sunday morning. And I'm happy for you. No other nation on the face of the earth been blessed by God as the people of the United States of America. And I often wonder why that one part of the world, they're starving to death. Another part of the world, they have so much they don't know what to do with it. Soon as some of us get off international airport, go to the immigration custom, when we come out and drive to our destination, and I see so many eating places along those highways, and one of the restaurants that capture my imagination every time I come to this country is a McDonald's hamburger. 99 billion hamburgers sold at a McDonald's. You know how many is 99 billion McDonald's? Let me give you a layman's term. If Dr. Paige Patterson eats 2,000 hamburgers at McDonald's for every day, for the next 2,000 years, he would have only eaten 730 million hamburgers. Suppose Dr. Patterson would live 4,000 years, eat 1,000 hamburgers for every day for the next 4,000 years, he'd probably only eat 1.4 billion hamburgers. Yet McDonald's sold 99 billion hamburgers. I don't know who eat all them hamburgers, you? I go to your supermarket, try to buy a toothpaste. Take me half an hour to find the toothpaste counter. And by mistake, I went into one counter. I see so much dog food and cat food and bird food. No other nation has been blessed by God Almighty as the people of the United States of America. I understand last year, American people consumed $300 million worth of laxatives. $780 million worth of antacid. $960 million worth of deodorant last year. That's why you smell so good. No other nation on the face of the earth been blessed by God Almighty as the people of the United States of America. And believe me, you've been blessed, and don't you ever take it for granted. I often wonder why. That one part of the world, they're starving to death. Another part of the world, they have so much, they don't know what to do with it. Somebody said, well, maybe we work harder than you people over there. I told them I got news for them. Some of us over there work 7 days a week, from sun up to sundown, 7 days, bend it over on the muddy rice paddy, never hope to have your living standard. So that must not be the answer. Somebody said, well, we are smarter than you people over there. And I told them I got news for them. In my travel to this country, I met a lot of dumb people, Dr. Patterson. So that may not be the answer. Then I began to do a little bit of research of your history. 1492, America was discovered by Columbus. Or at least history tells us Columbus discovered America. I have a friend, United Nations, one of my ambassador friends said, you know, Columbus didn't discover America. I said, who? It's a group of Chinamen. Came over on the junk boat to San Francisco. And they looked over the hill, some funny looking people coming over the hill. They said, there won't be much laundry business here. Let's go back. Later, 1492, Columbus discovered this great country. 1620, Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth Rock. They came here for religious freedom. I find in American money inscribed, "In God we trust." Wherever the American flag, the stars and stripes, is a symbol of freedom flown round the world, it's there to give a freedom and peace and liberty to those people who've been oppressed. Because of that and high and holy motive, God bless American people more than any other people on the face of the earth. And believe me, you've been blessed. Yet in spite of all the blessings of God in America, there's a sin on every hand. 92% of the city of New York's young people never darken any church, they tell me. Every 34 minutes, one murder is committed. Every 24 minutes, one major crime is committed in this country. 250,000 high school girls leave high school desk each year to the maternity ward. One out of every 8 baby born in this country is illegitimate child. Time magazine says, NEA estimates every school day, 10,000 students carry gun to a classroom. This is the nation having known nothing but the blessings of God, yet in spite of all the blessings of God in America today, there's a sin on every hand. AIDS disease is almost an epidemic in this country. I find the injunction from the word of God, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Again, we find the wicked shall turn into hell and all the nations that forget God. America is no exception. If she forgets God, she'll have to face the wrath and judgment of God like any other nation on the face of the earth. Yet I have a consolation for you this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? I believe America still has hope. And I understand the revival is coming. Revival doesn't come with an evangelist or the preacher. Revival comes when God's people come on their knees and cry out to God in prayer. Then revival will take place. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. There ever been in American history need the healing? I believe this is the time. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One time I spoke at Asian Theological Seminary after I finished. I asked for some question. One of the students said, "Pastor Kim, if you had to do over again in your ministry, what would you do differently?" I said, "I preach less and pray more." We need the men and women of God. Get on their knees and cry out to God to send the revival to this great nation. Otherwise, it'll be just like a Roman Empire, a Babylonian Empire, go down in the history. That I believe God's still not finished with people of America, because the world is looking for your leadership in a spiritual realm. Korea has suffered greatly. Yet some years ago, missionaries came to our country. And somehow Korean church have learned to pray. Every morning, 5 o'clock, most of the Korean churches have prayer meeting every day. Church that I'm pastoring, we have 4:30 prayer meeting every morning, then another one at 6 o'clock. If you don't believe 4:30 in the morning prayer meeting is unholy hour, you try to get up 4 o'clock and go to church and pray every day, 365 days, and tell me, it's a tough. They expect the pastor to preach every morning. And church like me, we got a lot of associate pastors, I take turn. Yet Korean church, it's been marked as a praying church, and God has blessed Korean church far beyond our imagination and our, because God honors prayer. Prayer honors God. There may be some Japanese students here, and it's no reflection upon Japanese people, but let me just give you an incident that happened. 1910, Korea was annexed by Japan. We have lost our history. We have lost our language. We have lost our flag. We have lost our identity. We became part of the Japanese imperial regime for 36 years. At that time, the Japanese imperial regime felt that the missionary was no longer needed, so they asked to leave the missionaries out of Korea. There was a little Methodist church, 13 kilometers from where I live, tucked away by the rice paddy. The Korean church has been closed. For a number of months. And one day, Japanese chief police told Korean pastor he could hold the service next Sunday morning. He didn't ask why or how come. He invited the people again. Several people walked 5 kilometers, 10, 7. Pastor got up the pulpit, asked congregation to sing with him. One of the Korean favorite songs, Nail My God to Thee, Nail It to Thee, Even Though It Be a Cross, Nail My God to Thee. Japanese locked the door from outside, threw the gallons of kerosene, set the church on fire. Naturally, men would try to break the window and escape. A squad of Japanese police standing all around the church with the guns ready to shoot if anyone would jump out. They stayed inside. They began to sing the final hymn. Alas, and that my Savior bleed, and that my Sovereign died, would he devote their sacred head for such a woman as I? Just before roof collapsed. They could feel the intensity of that heat. They smoke filled their eyes. They began to sing the final stanza, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, this all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. They all died there, but story doesn't end there. After 1945, end of the Second World War, we drove all the Japanese people back to Japan and we gained the independence. Several years ago, a group of Japanese pastors came to Korea, so one of the Korean pastors thought it'd be nice to show them because they have built a monument. They engrave all the names of those people who died on that Sunday morning. When they showed that, what had happened, and relayed the story. Japanese pastors were brokenhearted. They went back to Japan, raised the 10 million yen. They brought it. They want to build a church back up where their forefathers burned it down. So they built a beautiful white church on September 1971. Sunday afternoon, they dedicated that church, and I was invited. Church was packed to the capacity. Sermon was given. Dedicatory prayer was offered just before the citation was passed out. They were singing, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die?" Korean delegation stood up. They walked over there where Japanese delegation was sitting. They stood up. They embraced one another. They hugged for one another. They cried for one another. They forgave. They forgot. Because that's the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we need the people who know how to pray. Pray that God will bring revival to this nation. During the Korean War at the 38th parallel, there's a place called Heartbreak Ridge. We didn't name that ridge Heartbreak Ridge. It was American war correspondent was covering that war. He saw that ridge. Thousands of American boys have died, and he called that ridge Heartbreak Ridge. 50 yards from the enemy territory, there's American trench, the foxhole. Other side, the hill, the enemy's trench, the foxhole. They were exchanging the bullets back and forth, and literally hundreds of people died. That's why the newspaper man called that ridge Heartbreak Ridge, because many of the American boys never returned home. Broken their mother's heart, father's heart, their wives and sweethearts' heart. So he named that ridge Heartbreak Ridge. 50 yards from the enemy's territory, there's an American foxhole. There's one young American soldier was hit by the enemy bullet. His left shoulder, he lost too much blood. In their desperation, he was crying for help. They could hear from the American foxhole, but nobody dared to face the enemy bullet, rescue that dying soldier safely back to the foxhole. One young man looking at his watch when the 9 o'clock struck without saying a word. He crawled on his stomach 50 yards into the enemy's territory, rescue that dying soldier safely back to the foxhole. They give him a first aid. Then Sergeant asked him a question. Why did you wait until 9 o'clock? Young man replied, "Sarge, when I left home, my mother promised me she'll pray for me every morning at 9 o'clock. I know I'd be safe from the enemy bullet if I went at 9 o'clock." If my people, what you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and shall be opened unto you. It's about time that American Christian just don't talk about prayer and get on our knees and pray that God will change the leadership of this nation and God will change the leadership, Christian leadership in this nation to see that once again the great awakening revival will take place in America. We organize instead of agonizing on our knees, pray before God. I believe the time has come when America, unless we have revival, unless there's awakening on the part of God's people, no telling that God may send his judgment upon this great nation. I believe it was Ruth Graham who said, if God will not judge America, then he has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. May God help us. May God grant a fresh vision to this great institution, because where there is no vision, people perish. Shall we pray? Father, God has raised up this great institution, great leaders, and a great president. I pray that through the leadership of this great institution, may we see the spark of revival in this nation, that America will turn around, come back to God, that God will continue to bless this nation, its great people, in order that they may be able to be blessing to other people around the world. Give us a vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. In Christ's name I pray.